This is Mark Petrosimone. This is Mark Petrosimone. I move for approval of the meeting minutes.
Motion is made. Is there discussion on the motion?
Is there a second to the motion?
This is Kathy. I'll second it.
Is there discussion on the motion? The answer's up. I'd like to take a voice vote on the motion. Trustee Petrosimone?
Aye.
Trustee Graves?
Aye.
Trustee Gormany?
Aye.
Trustee Whetstone?
Aye.
Trustee Stagnello is also an aye. I'd like to put administrative matters on hold for a moment. Go to the pro forma things. Item 3, age annuity, retirement information only. Does not require the deliberation or vote by the trustees. If there's not a question on item 3, I'd like to move to item 4. Again, information only. If there's not any questions by the trustees, I can move on to item 5, disability retirement reexamination. Two employees, Judy Taylor on her first re-exam and Larry Cates on his first re-exam. If the trustees have read the medicals and would like to render a vote.
Mr. Chair, if we have a question.
Absolutely.
On one of the re-exams, do we have to go into executive session?
So be it. Who's the question on which individual?
Larry Cates.
Okay. Is there a motion to go into executive session?
I move that we go into executive session to answer a question on Larry Cates' reexamination.
Very good. Is there a second to that motion?
Mr. Chair, this is Mark Petrosimone. I'll second that motion.
Is there a discussion on this motion? In the absence, I'd like to take a voice vote for the trustees. Trustee Petrosimone?
Aye.
Trustee Graves?
Aye.
Trustee Whetstone?
Aye.
Trustee Gormany?
Aye.
And Trustee Stagnello is also aye. We will go into executive session.
Trustee Stagnello, do you want to say if any of you want to have any of you?
I'd like any administrative staff and legal staff that's necessary. Thank you. That's present. All right, we're in executive session. We're off the record.
No, I don't think we are.
No, you're not.
We're not in executive session.
When are we off?
I'm creating the breakout rooms right now.
Very good. This morning, I got this thing on my computer says that, you know, for no reason at all, it says your computer is locked. And once you get that message, you can't get it off. Does it ever happen to you? You had to go through, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off, turn it on before I finally got rid of that. Some kind of gimmick.
Gary, I think you might have to click something that they're trying to get you into a private room. You might have to accept it or join private room or something. There must be a pop-up somewhere.
What I'm looking for.
Hey, Ben, I apologize. I conveyed to Ed that we probably were to put you on at 9. Just like, I know you're on the West Coast. I don't know if he didn't relay that message, but
he did not.
Okay, just to kind of get you the as much time as possible, get all this stuff out of the way first, and then we would put you on. So, I mean, if you want to hop off and have a cup of coffee or something, feel free. It's going to be probably another half hour or so or whatever.
Yeah, no worries. I think I missed the 9 o'clock note. It's all good.
Okay.
Cool. I'll see you in 45 minutes or so.
Sounds good. I will pop back in about a half an hour just to be safe.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Take care.
All right. Yep.
Gary, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Jerry's still on mute.
Jerry, you have no camera and no voice.
Jerry, can you hear us?
Jerry, you need to take your mute off and put your camera back on.
Kayla, you might be able to unmute Jerry.
Yeah, it's giving me the option to ask him to unmute. So maybe a notification will pop up on his screen.
Okay, thanks.
Do we have a cell phone number for Jerry?
Yeah, I'll give him a call.
Yeah.
Derek, you're calling him?
Yeah, I'm speaking to him now. He says that it said the host is not allowing him to unmute himself. So I don't know why that would be.
Leanna, can you unmute
that? Tell him to just log back out and log back in.
Taylor said to log back out and log back in, Jerry. Maybe that'll work. Still shows you on mute, Jer. Shows you back in, but still on mute. Try to unmute, maybe.
Taylor, can you unmute, Jerry?
Yeah, it's still giving me the option to ask him to unmute. It's not allowing me to unmute him.
Jerry said it's still showing that host is not allowing him to unmute himself. So I'm not really. This is all participants. So I'm not really sure why that is. I've never seen that before.
It may be the problem he had with his computer this morning. That didn't sound good.
You know, I've had issues with hosts not allowing me to share screens, but I've never seen that not be able to unmute myself. So I'm wondering Taylor, are you the host? Or is Leanna the host?
I'm the host.
Taylor is the host.
Okay.
Well, I mean, if worse comes to worse, and you can hear me, can we continue while I'm on the phone?
Can we continue? Can you guys hear him on my cell phone?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Time. I'll just continue to speak for my phone.
Okay. Go ahead. You're on.
5 disability retirement. I think that we might be able to take both individuals collectively, or we can trust teams like to take them separately. If you want to make a motion to accept both, it's fine.
This is Kathy Graves. I move that we accept both disability retirement reexaminations for Jody Taylor and Larry Cates.
Motion is made. Is there a second to that motion?
Mr. Chair, this is Mark Petrosimon. I'll second that motion.
Is there a discussion on this motion? In the absence of a motion properly made and second, I'd like to call upon the trustees for a voice vote. Trustee Whetstone?
Aye.
Trustee Graves?
Aye.
Trustee Gormany?
Aye.
Trustee Petrosimon?
Aye.
Trustee Slagnella is also aye. Item 6, death after retirement information only. David Alvarez, Mary Pirelli, Anthony Notarino, Loretta Giglietti. I'd like to have the call upon the trustees for a moment of silence for the recognition of the repose of their soul. Rest in peace. Thank you very much. Item 7, payment of bills. What's the board's pleasure?
Mr. Chair, this is Mark Petrosimon. I move for approval of bills, payment of the bills.
So moved. Is there a second?
Kathy Gray, second.
Is there discussion on the motion? in the absence of, I'd like to call upon the trustees for their voice vote. Susan Whetstone.
Aye.
Trustee Graves.
Aye.
Trustee Petra Simone.
Aye.
Trustee Gormany.
Aye.
Trustee Sagnello is also aye. Item 8, is there anything under old business? If not, we'll go on to item 9. Is there any new business? I'm going to hold up on the investment reports, and I'd like to fall back to item 2, administrative matters, renewal of liability insurance. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
This is the trustee liability insurance, which is a nice thing to have. You see the premium. What's the premium payment?
Hey, this is Leanna. The increase from last year to this year was about $328. They said that the underwriter advised that the increase was due to an increase in exposure, but she also said that the only changes are enhancements to our benefit. So there was no negative change to it.
Carolyn, just trying to remember, there has been a case in the past where we've used the insurance.
Yes.
Can you tell just the trustees get an idea of what that was for and what the amount was?
You know, it was quite a bit in the past, and it had to do with the December 2011 changes, as I recall, to the executive management and the buyback. And there was a former city employee who claimed that he had been denied the right to buy back service. And it was, they paid for the legal fees to defend that claim. That claim never went to court, and he basically gave up on that, pursuing that claim, but it took some time to get him to give up. But they did pay for the legal fees to defend the claim. That's what I'm recalling. I don't think there's been anything since then.
It was great to get where it's wise to have this type of coverage.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said, so this illustrates that it's wise for the trustees to have this coverage.
Right.
Mr. Chair, may I make a motion?
Go ahead.
I move that we accept the renewal of the liability insurance policy. For trustees.
Motion is made. Is there a second on the motion?
Mr. Chair, this is Mark Petrosimone. I second that motion.
Is there a discussion on this motion? In the absence of a motion and properly made a second, I'd like to call upon the trustees for their individual vote. Trustee Whetstone?
Aye.
Trustee Graves?
Aye.
Trustee Petrosimone?
Aye.
Trustee Gormany.
Aye.
And Trustee Sagnello is also aye. Item 2B, vote on the 2022 evaluation report. Eric, how did the police vote on your...
They accepted the 6.9 assumed.
Good, so much thinking.
Yes.
So as you may, this is Carolyn Cohn. As you may recall, the last special meeting, SERP also voted on the same rate of return for the valuation report. And this is now a vote on the report in total. The special acts and the contracts require that at least every 2 years, the board report to the Board of Alders on the value, create a valuation report and send it to the Board of Alders. So that's what this vote is for.
This is the evaluation report we've already.
Sure, you sound far away. I don't know what happened on your phone. You're.
So, yes. So you've already voted on the rate of return, which computes into what the city's contribution is going to be.
Right.
So this is just a vote on the report in total, which I believe everybody received as part of their packet.
Okay. Would somebody like to make a motion?
This is Kathy Graves. I move that we accept this report as stated.
The motion made. Is there a second?
Chair, this is Mark Petrosimone. I'll second it. Second that motion.
Is there a discussion on this motion? In the absence of a motion properly made and seconded, I'd like to call upon the trustees for the individual vote. Trustee Whetstone?
Aye.
Trustee Graves?
Aye.
Trustee Petrosimone?
Aye.
Trustee Gormany?
Aye.
And Trustee Sagnella is also an aye.
Thank you.
All right, so we're moving on to the investment report. What's going on out there, Derek? Mm-hmm. Pretty volatile.
Maybe you live in interesting times, yeah. So I'll go through some of the investment reports. So Taylor, if you could pull up the presentations, there's a few things I just want to go over. Obviously, there's a lot going on in with these bank failures. We could chat about that and kind of talk about any potential exposures. So whenever you're ready. Okay, so let's start with the performance report. That looks good. Make it a little bigger there. Okay, so if you want to scroll down to, so this is obviously through February 28th. Just broad markets were down, as you can see, for the month. We'll talk a little bit about why. Jerry, I'm going to put you on mute just because I'm getting a lot of feedback on the phone. So I'm going to put you on mute so broad market indices were down through February. January was a strong month. February gave some of that back. If you could go down to the next page. Sorry, I'm just trying to limit the reverberations from the phone. So here's the total fund as of February 28th. It's just over $210 million. You could see for the month, it was down 64 basis points or 0.6%, better than the policy and balance index. For the quarter, it's doing pretty well, up 3%. 6 months, obviously down, but down less than its passive benchmarks. Fiscal year to date, just about 5%. So remember that's July 1st to February 28th. Year to date's calendar year to date. 1 year, you can see down 4.19. So that's a rolling 1 year. But the 3 year compound rate of return is still 9.76. So that's a good, strong, rebound from where we were just a couple months ago. So we feel good about that. We're still beating our target index for the 3 years. Obviously since 2008, we're underperforming, our assumed rate, but we think with some strong equity markets, hopefully, in the future, maybe not soon, but in the future, hopefully we can turn that around. Some things that we could just look at here is, some of our large cap growth stocks, you can see are down, a little bit more than their index. Large cap value is down 3, growth is down 3.5, mid cap's down 2.6, small cap equities. So we've invited Fuller and Thaler here for an update. You can see there's strong numbers, both short term and long term. Ben will be back in a little while, but he'll talk about, since inception numbers. Remember these numbers are just since Raymond James has started taking performance, but we have longer history with Fuller and Thaler, and their numbers look great. They're up 17% fiscal year to date versus 12, up 9 for year to date. And if you look at the last 3 years, up compounded at over 20%. And then since this January of 19, up 16.8. Well, strong outperformance of their passive benchmark. So that's just one of the things we look at when we hire active managers, folks like Cook and Buehler, Fuller and Thaler. You know, we use passive indexing when we don't have an active manager that we think can outperform. But you can see Fuller and Thaler's done a nice job. So is Cook and Buehler. If you go to the next page, please. WCM, you can see it's a little bit of a struggle still. They are on watch. Their long-term numbers are still good. You can see compounded out 3 years at 8.25 and since inception, 9.6. You know, still fiscal year up 11.3, but international equities has had a little bit of a tough run recently. Dolan McNeary is our core bond manager. So they're a corporate bond manager, mostly not a lot of government exposure. One of the things we'll talk about today is just a fixed income manager search that we've conducted. I'll talk about that momentarily. We'd like to add to that position. We've been historically low fixed income for a very long time, just because of where rates have been going. You know, fixed income by investment policy, we need to have an allocation. But you can see both domestic and international fixed income has been losing money. And so we're safely losing money. I prefer not to safely lose money. So we've kept that allocation on the low end of the target range. But we think now with where rates are, there's some actual opportunity in fixed income, and we'll talk about that momentarily. But as you can see, it's just a slow bleed on the domestic bonds. But our active manager, Dolan McNeary, has done a good job of protecting us on the downside. So we're losing money, but losing less than their passive benchmark. Brandywine has been terminated, so those numbers are just haven't fallen off yet. LM Capital is a relatively new manager, international manager that we interviewed not too long ago. They started in July. They're just getting going. They're down less than their benchmark, and they're doing okay for us. So no notable reasons to be concerned there. Moving down to Alkyon Growth Fund, you can see we know that they are on watch, but their numbers have gotten strong recently. This is through February. You can see for the month, they're up just under 15%. The benchmark is down 2%. 3 months are up 20%, 6 months up just under 5.4. So they're starting to, you know, rebound. Their strategy is very much as you all recall, a very technology focused, forward thinking, you know, type of manager. They utilize leverage. So it's, you know, when their story is in favor or when their stocks start to turn around, you can see they turn around quickly. So it's kind of the moral of the story here is when some active managers that have done very, very well for us over a long term, all of a sudden have a rough patch. So that's why we kind of stay with them and see, because, you know, I always say smart money doesn't get dumb overnight. They just, their style was out of favor. You can see they've rebounded. If we sold at a low, then we'd be locking in those losses, but you can see they rebounded pretty nicely over the last couple months. So we're going to keep them on watch, but ultimately we see them starting to turn around. Our true hedge fund, Atlas, the Balyasny Atlas Fund, has done a nice job of staying positive even through rough years. You can see for 3 years, they compound out at 16%, since inception 14%. So that portion of the portfolio has held up pretty well. And giving us a little bit of a ballast in the storm. Next page, please. Some of our private stuff is starting to come in. You know, you can see fiscal year to date numbers, you know, 1 year numbers. Obviously some big notable mentions, both on the upside. You could see, you know, Neuberger. So I want to caveat this, the private equities, we'll talk about the bank issues and kind of any, if there's any exposure. And as that story unfolds, we're getting more and more information. But you can see Neuberger Select, they were down fiscal year 17%, 15% 1 year. Their 3 year number, and actually their long term numbers are still significantly better. So we're getting some insight from them. And I'll present a longer term forecast at the next meeting. Alkyon Innovation, also a little rough patch. They did very, very well going into this fiscal year. They got beaten up a bit. So I'm going to revisit those numbers. Fairview's done a fantastic job, as you can see. We've hired them for Fund 5. We've also just started to fund Fund 6. You can see they're up 21% fiscal year, 115% 1 year since inception, 41%. So done a very, very solid job, and we're happy to have them added on as their follow-up fund. Entrust per mile is down a bit. So again, these numbers are starting to trickle in. They're not finalized yet, but we're getting, you know, quarterly and semi-annual valuations there. Our real estate portfolio, you can see big real estate, again, huge numbers, 94%, 28% on the 3 year, 22% since inception. Bridge, you know, so Bridge is a performance. So part of the way Bridge allocates performance is in total return. You have to remember, above and beyond these compound returns, they're paying a 8% distribution every year. So as they invest capital, they're also paying distributions as well. So you can see their performance, and that's just the growth of their fund. Red Brick, nothing to mention yet. It's a new fund that we just hired, so there really hasn't been much there. And Townsend, I'm waiting for some clarity on Townsend, because quite honestly, they've been sending distributions out, and there's been some liquidations there. So I'm waiting to hear back from them as well. I can swing into, so I don't have any formalized dialogue, as you know, obviously the front line here, we're looking at these banks that are the bank failures. The one thing that I, you know, need to talk about is, you know, the banks out in on the West Coast that have been failing. The one issue is, you know, these private equity, this bank was basically a bank for private equity companies. So we've been chatting with our private equity companies to see if there's any direct exposure. We've heard from a few. So we've heard from Alkyon, and we've heard from Fairview, and we've heard from Neuberger. Neuberger has potentially some slight exposure, but it's not direct exposure. And I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute. Alkyon has affirmed that there's been zero exposure, and Fairview Capital has zero exposure thus far. So when we say zero exposure, how does a private equity firm have exposure to, you know, cash on the balance sheet of a bank? Well, for example, like a, you know, let's just use, I'm not picking a Neuberger, but Neuberger Select, let's say they have a capital call. They reach out to us. We send a capital call into the bank. If their bank that they're using for their capital calls is one of the banks that fails, therein lies a problem. The communication that we've had thus far is there's been no direct exposure. So none of our private equity firms utilize the banks that have failed as their direct bank. That doesn't mean we're free and clear here. So you have to also remember, these private equity companies also have companies that they buy, you know. So basically, think of it as a fund manager. You know, we'll stick with the Neuberger, for example. Neuberger Select Opportunities might buy several smaller companies. So they are equity owners in a smaller company. If those smaller companies have direct exposure, you know, they have their prime banking with some of the banks that fail, there is a indirect exposure potential to some of our funds. So the communication that we've been getting is that there's been no direct exposure, i.e. none of these funds that we own have direct exposure to the banks. Indirect exposure, they're still trying to sort out amongst their portfolio. We've had some come back and say we've had zero direct and indirect exposure, and there's some that are just waiting to find out. So they're working through that. It's still too soon to see exactly where we are, so I don't have definitive information as of yet, but I will certainly keep you posted. I know that was, I threw a lot at you, and it was very fast dialogue. But I guess the good news is we could affirm that there's been no direct exposure. So that's obviously the biggest risk. So there's no direct surf money that's been sent for a capital call that has been, you know, sent to a bank that's failed. So with that, I'll open to any questions. I know, again, I threw a lot at you. Is there any questions or comments about that? Okay. Without questions or comments about that, I just want to talk briefly about a fixed income search that we conducted. I'll just run through some of the numbers. So Taylor, if you could pull that core fixed income search up. So you know, it's kind of hard to look at a chart like this and say, wow, you know, look at all those down bars. Why would we possibly want to invest in funds that are down? And the answer there, A, would be a logical question, but my response would be, you know, we've watched fixed income get deteriorated, as we know, and I just talked about that in a performance report. But where the Fed has risen, you know, has raised rates so aggressively and so quickly, that's what has created that erosion of principal on these bond funds. And just to put it in perspective, so the yellow bar is the bond passive index. So that's the Bloomberg aggregate bond index. The other three colors, the green, blue, and red, are managers that we looked at. Believe it or not, these are some of the three best managers out there in this space. And the reason why we're saying, hey, let's do a search now is because, like Wayne Gretzky always says, you skate to where the puck, or you skate to where the puck's going to be, not where the puck is. So we see this as this negative pullback in fixed income as an opportunistic opportunity to add to fixed income. And when I say fixed income, we call it core fixed income. So core is a very ambiguous term. We want to add bond managers that have government bonds, i.e. U.S. treasuries, as well as corporate bonds. So Dolan McNary does have some exposure there, but they're predominantly a corporate bond manager. We'd like to add a very solid core government and credit bond manager to the mix. So I'd like to have these three managers come and present. The three finalists that we came up with are Federated. They're out of Boston. JP Morgan, obviously everybody knows JP Morgan. And then scroll down a little bit, Taylor, because you can't see it. It's called Integrity. So Integrity is another manager that we've found. So I want to note Integrity. I have reached out to them. I've not heard back a couple times. They are an emerging manager. So to our emerging policy that we've set in place, this manager would qualify both from an emerging standpoint, and it is female owned as well. So it's nice to have them in the mix, because in theory, they might not have been in the mix prior to our policy. I have put a couple calls out to them without getting a response. So I'm hoping we could get a response and have them present. I'm not sure if we would do it at the next meeting. Hopefully we can shoot for the April meeting. But as you can see, all three of these managers outperform on the downside and on the upside. If you could go to the next page, Taylor. So this just shows it a little bit more clearly, because at the end of the day, the bar charts are annual. This is actually the growth of money. And that's what's most important here. You say, okay, we can invest in, if we invested $1,000 back in 2012 in a corporate strategy or a core bond, the Bloomberg aggregate bond, the yellow line is the passive index. And you can see all three managers have added extra performance above and beyond the benchmark. So here's an opportunity where in volatile times, an active manager would outperform and compound out at a higher rate of return. And that's depicted visually here. So that's what we look at when we look for an active manager, someone that's going to outperform a passive benchmark and do so over time with relative safety. The next page, please. So this is just the old scattergram. We could look at risk and reward. So, you know, ideally you want to be up and to the left, you know, so what that means is you're creating more return. So return is the vertical axis above and beyond the passive benchmark. You can see the Bloomberg aggregate in the middle, that little intersection there. Above and beyond that are the three managers. You can see they've all made more return. You'd like to ideally see it done with less risk. So you see where Federated is, that red triangle. That's where you really want to be. JP Morgan's also there, higher return with less risk than the benchmark. So those are the numbers that you want to see. Typically, this is a 3-year snapshot. So it's a moment in time, not saying that these are always like this, but this is a moment in time. So that's one of the things we really look at. If you go to the next page, I think that's all I really want to talk about. Yeah. So this just talks about the actual companies and how they're, you know, individual, how they're run, what types of companies they are. We don't need to get into that. But so with the trustees' permission, I'd like to invite these three managers in next month to speak. Is that okay with everybody? I don't know if we need a vote for that. No? Okay.
Yes. I'm good with it.
Okay. All right. So I will invite them. Hopefully I can get them all lined up for next month. I see that Ben is back on. So, and I want to be sensitive to his time. If we can invite Ben. So Ben is from Fuller and Thaler. I mentioned earlier, you know, they've done very well for us. It's pro forma for us to invite managers to come in and just talk about their strategy a bit. I asked them to just speak a little bit historical numbers, how they've done since inception, and then kind of what the landscape looks like moving forward. Because, you know, like we mentioned earlier, there's a lot going on, especially with, you know, some of the banks out there. So Ben, without further ado, if you could just take away the show here. I don't know if you're going to share your screen or if Taylor, is it okay for Ben to share his screen?
Yeah, if possible, I do have some slides to share. Okay. If that's the
I've made it for him to be able to share his screen. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me on this morning. So my name is Ben Johnson. As Derek had mentioned, I'm with Fuller and Thaler. We're a boutique manager based outside of the San Francisco Bay Area, out in California. Refreshing everyone's memory on who we are. I think I spoke with you all back in 2021. Nice to see everyone again. Just again, who we are, we're a boutique manager focused on applying behavioral finance. We're led by two Nobel laureates, Dr. Richard Thaler and Dr. Daniel Kahneman, both of whom won their Nobel Prizes for their work on the behavioral side of the economic equation. And on the backs of their research is how we go about picking stocks, if you will. We focus on selecting small cap companies, which are the smallest companies within the United States, you know, equity universe. We've done quite well. As of late, and in particular in your account, just reminding people of what we do. Behavioral finance is our focus. It's that intersection of where traditional finance meets cognitive psychology, trying to understand why there's a difference between what people should do versus what they actually end up doing. It turns out those two things aren't always the same. The overarching idea is that people make mistakes, and our process is designed to identify the opportunities that those mistakes create. The two mistakes we find investors consistently and predictably make, they overreact to bad news and they underreact to good news. Those are the backdrops for how we go about identifying opportunities. One of the mistakes investors often make is that they overreact to bad news, to vivid and emotional stories. And there isn't much that's quite as vivid and emotional as losing money. Why we humans are loss averse, which says the pain we all feel from a loss feels about twice as powerful as any euphoria you may feel from a gain. Another reason people overreact is due to the availability bias, which says that the frequency with which people think something occurs, it is often correlated with reality, but it can be skewed by how available similar events or memories or stories are in our minds. And then, of course, people can stereotype, which can cause them to overreact. The way we find these opportunities is by looking for big and unusual insider buying. When I refer to insider buying, I'm speaking to C-suite executives, directors, SVPs, people with the in the know at particular companies. When we see insider buying, we'll look backwards to see, does it look like the market may be overreacting to some news or information? Has there been what we would call a conditioning period? We look for investors that have been feeling the pain of loss over and over and over again. As we humans can't handle that, think of it like death by a thousand paper cuts. From there, we'll move on to make sure we think these businesses can keep it together. That is to say, turn around and go back up again. So we'll run through their business model. We'll run through their balance sheets, make sure they can keep the doors open and the lights on. If we get all three steps to check out, we'll buy these companies and hold on to them until we see the opposite event of insider selling or share issuance. I wanted to mention this specifically in that, as Derek had just alluded to, a lot of news going on as relates to banks these days, in particular, small cap regional banks. You see things like Silicon Valley Bank in the news, Signature Bank, as well as another bank called Silvergate, likely a market overreaction. In fact, we have seen an alarming amount of insider buying within these regional banks. In fact, since last Thursday, which is when the panic really began, 90 different banks have seen insider buying. This is great news, a very positive signal. For any of you reading the news and hearing all of the doom and gloom headlines, we don't think that's the case. We think we should be just fine. And that Silicon Valley Bank made a few mistakes, as did the other banks, but people are suffering from stereotyping. They're labeling every bank as in trouble when that isn't the case. People don't like losing money. They're loss averse. They're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And then from an availability bias perspective, again, all that news flashing in the headlines, the tweets and the hashtags are causing the market to overreact, where we think it's really creating some significant opportunities. Chasing these opportunities, or following them rather, has been a pretty good approach for us. And this is one of the top-ranked strategies within its universe. I am happy to say that since the inception of your account, your portfolio has annualized at over 12.5% net of fees, while the benchmark has only annualized at 6.8%. That is a 5.5% annualized excess or extra return you've received from investing in this portfolio. Some more meaningful or vivid numbers, in my opinion, on a cumulative basis, your account has returned 98%, while the benchmark has returned about 47%. Over 50% excess or extra returns that you've received by investing in this portfolio. And we've been doing this year in and year out. It isn't just a brief span of time where we got lucky. Now, we've been deploying this process in this strategy going back to 1996, delivering similar levels of extra returns. And we see no reason why this shouldn't continue, especially given that people continue to make silly mistakes due to investor misbehavior, like, for example, what we're seeing going on right now in regional banks. So to repeat, you've returned about an extra 50% by investing in this portfolio. We continue to see investors make mistakes like we're seeing in regional banks, which continues to create opportunities, which we think could mean further opportunity for us to continue to outperform for you in this particular account. Derek, other things you'd like to cover? I could talk about this for days on end. But in a nutshell, opportunities are present right now, as we're seeing in banks, and your portfolio has done exceptionally well since inception. I think you've outperformed in the 6 years you've been in this strategy, we've outperformed in 5 of them, which is not a bad hit rate.
Yeah, no, I think it looks good, Ben. Why don't we just talk on a real quick, what level of exposure do you guys allocate to financials? And, you know, obviously, what do you do there and how many names? And do you see that contagion in any other sectors or any other opportunities? You know, obviously, there's a lot going on with, data dependent market here. So what are you guys seeing in that regard as well?
Yeah, so the benchmark itself, which is the Russell 2000, which is a collection of all small cap companies in the United States, about 17% of that is made up of financials, a subset of which is in regional banks. So we're technically underweight that particular sector, at least through the end of last year. I would bet that is going to change and that we're seeing a ton of opportunity within banks. As I mentioned, 90 different banks have seen their corporate insiders step up, put their money where their mouth is, and buy their own stock. That's huge. I would say that in and of itself for us is a very positive signal. If you couple that with the fact that the Federal Reserve came out on this most recent Sunday and basically backstopped the banks, saying whether or not your money is insured or uninsured, they'll make you whole, which is the big issue with these banks. I mean, Silicon Valley Bank was not going to be able to meet their deposit withdrawal requirements from people that were, you know, pulling the plug and getting out, which the Fed has now basically rectified or fixed that issue. I will make a note, the issue with Silicon Valley Bank is relatively idiosyncratic and specific to that particular bank, and that they made some mistakes with their risk management and how they were deploying capital. It is not the same across the board. This is not a 2008-type financial crisis. This is a few people making a few errors, not a a smudge on the entire industry of regional banking, which is a massive piece of this economy. They do a lot of lending that the mega banks won't do. They're very important, and they're well capitalized. I mean, frankly, coming out of the financial crisis, these banks are healthier than they've ever been. Now with the backstop of the Fed saying, even in the face of a bank run, you will be made whole, coupled with the fact these insiders are buying like we haven't seen in years, it's a great sign for us in banks. And so we are currently underweight banks. I wouldn't be surprised to see if we went overweight banks were things to stay as interesting or opportunistic as they appear right now.
Sounds good. Any questions from the trustees? Okay. So without further questions, we're good. Ben, thank you very much for your time. Just to let everybody know, Ben is on the West Coast, so it's bright and early there for him. So thank you for waking up at the crack of dawn to chat with us.
Anytime. Thank you all for the continued business and partnership, and I look forward to seeing you next time.
Thanks,
Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
Take care, everyone.
Okay, so that said, I don't have anything further. I'm putting Jerry back on speaker here. I don't have anything further unless anybody has any questions or comments. Jerry, you there? And we hear you.
Talk about business today. If that's the case, can I ask the trustee for a motion to adjourn?
Derek, I could not hear Jerry.
I'm sorry. Jerry, can you repeat that? Maybe you're a little quiet.
I said I think we've conducted our business for the day. If that's the case, can I ask trustees for a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Mark Petrus Simone, I second it.
Discussion on the motion. In the absence, I'd like to call upon trustees for a voice vote. Trustee Petrus Simone.
Aye.
Trustee Graves.
Aye.
Trustee Whetstone.
Aye.
Trustee Sagnella. Aye. It's a wrap.
All right. We'll see you next month.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Be safe. Stay safe.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.